Blog Talk Radio.
Look. How did you do it? Dwayne?
I feel blessed.
Dwayne.
Way up, I feel blessed.
Dwayne.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Alright, man. Hey, how
I
you
live
doing?
The life I deserve. Bless.
Hey, I'm doing good.
Fuck
man.
A vacation, better at work.
Oh, nothing much,
I mean, whatever
man.
It's
yeah,
worth,
still,
I give whatever I'm worth.
For
my niggas who gon' go to hell and back for me, I'ma give them heaven on earth for a
I'm
hell of a check. Yeah, whichever comes first.
Nice.
Blessings on blessings on blessings. Look at my life, man. That's lessons on lessons on lessons. I treat this beat like it's a reverend. I tell the truth like, Father, forgive me. These are all my confessions, man. This wasn't luck, it was destiny. I done lost homies who been with me since Ed and Eddie, who feel like confetti. And then when you back, they back to call you dog. That shit can get petty. Bitch, don't get no dap to me, nigga. Funny thing about talking behind my back is that it just keep coming back to me, nigga. Was off for a sec, now it's back
yeah,
to me, nigga. You mad at me. This ain't what I want, man. This what it had to be. This is LA not working after three, man. This is why my old girl was mad at me. This why I'm your majesty, man. The click is the tightest, the pussy the tightest. The drinks are the coldest, the future the brightest. The feet not divided, the love is divided. And I just gotta thank God that we got it. Bless.
Can you hear me?
I don't know what I would do without a crew. Look like we robbed a bank, but all we make is deposits. Your profit with profit, oh God.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I
look,
feel flat.
I ain't gonna say that we back or nothing, cause that implies that we're back from something. If we're back from something, it's some checks you owe us. I expect that pay nothing less or over. I don't need them favors that you asked me for.
Click
I can get
the,
some fucks by where the Grammys go. I just gave out Grammys on my Instagram. Them OVO boys the business, man. It is what it is. Trust me, you get what
look
you get. Yeah.
It's the double headed.
You gotta come to my side and see how we live. Yeah. I cannot see heaven being much better than this. Yeah. Blessings on blessings for me and my
hello
niggas from the six. Look at what we did. Yeah. Be quiet, I'm doing a toast.
Dwayne.
For niggas that don't really do shit, I swear
thanks.
I be doing the most. I worry
already
about whoever's next. I am just worried about my mama worrying less. I think I'm famous enough. I don't need any more press. I am convinced I'm the only one left that's still doing this shit, man. I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I feel
my
blessed.
My grandma just died, I'm the man of the house. So every morning I'm up cause I can't let him down. Down. Always down for the cause, never down for the count. I guess when your stars align, you do like the solar system and plan it out. So I'm going overtime on the overtime. Yeah, I'm not invested, but you can't attest it. $1 million goals, man, it's to manifest it. The family never going anorexic. I pay my mortgage and electric. Never going under even with anesthetics. At the top of the rap game and progressing. Check after check, checking off my checklist. Trying to blow my cake, just know that's the death wish. No mistakes in life ever, it's only lessons. Shit feel like Shaq and Penny got back together. You tore the game apart, who put it back together? I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
All right, so you there?
Way up,
yeah.
I feel blessed.
Yeah, do we just need to wipe this?
Way up, I feel blessed. Since the truth keep niggas traumatized, they try and compromise my kind of size. So I Snapchat that whole shit. Try and see titties, try and show dick. And I swear to God, I hope they post it. I'm blessed. Even though I get slammed with lawsuits like Cardos, C-3POs like Star Wars. They want me by the road holding up cardboard. So I go extra hard on the hard floor. Right now, I'm calling you from my home gym. Right after that, nigga, I'm gon' swim. Just did a couple laps in my home pool. And my daughter right there getting homeschooled. I'm blessed.
And I was thinking about starting at my own school, a Montessori. In the hallway looking like a Montessori, oh yes. I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Hello, brothers. Welcome to the Solo Black Reboot Show. We got my co-host here, Brother Allen. You want to introduce yourself, Allen?
Yeah, this is Allen Anderson here. Shout out to everybody that's working with us on this first show. And I'm looking forward to really chopping up some game with you as well as with the callers and, you know, to keep it real, keep it simple, and keep it popping.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, we've been contemplating a couple things, politicking about a couple things, about how the show should go, what to, present to the people, or what topics to draw. But this one, we were like, just leave it open. Leave it open, let the people go ahead and handle their business, say what they want to say. And I know there's going to be callers coming in here pretty much to get it in and tell us what's going on, and maybe we can work something out that's beneficial to our people. So we got our first caller in there, and it's a 240 number. 34. Go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, Dwayne, you're on air.
Hey, what's going on, Allen? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right, man. How about you, man? How is it in Brazil?
Man, I just wish I'd have done this years ago, bro. But better late than never.
Oh, well, being that I'm a younger man, I'll definitely take heed to that. Well, one question I know on... Yes, Sol was interested in hearing as well as I am, is I wanted you to speak on some of the things that's been going on in the group as far as, you know, the favelas. You know, I know you've already said this before, but if you could reiterate, like, why you decided to go into the favelas first and basically, you know, answer some of the questions, you know, that people may have about it and what you're trying to do. You know, you have the floor.
Okay, Dwayne. Dwayne, before you get started, can you turn off your speakers because we're getting some echoes from you?
Turn off my speaker. Okay.
Are you watching online or listening online? Okay. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay.
I think we're good. The host, all right then.
Okay, so we good?
You were good. Go ahead, lay it out.
Okay, no, but the thing was, you know, as I told folks, I was supposed to actually be staying in Tijuca initially, and you know, had you told me like back in February or January that I was going to be staying in the favela, I'd have told you that you were crazy. Now, what made all of this happen as far as my move to Hosinia was me getting in contact with a grassroots organization called Levantamos that does a lot of social work and social work is just like upliftment type things within the favelas. And that stuff is like right up my alley because I used to do that kind of work back in D.C. I decided to go on to work with them. They welcomed me with open arms. And before I left the States, you know, I was just sitting down thinking about, you know, how I can, you know, add something to the program. Then the thought came across my mind, you know, well, why not just go right there to Hosinia and be there in the midst of the people so they can see who you are. And, you know, as opposed to just knowing you in name only, like some sort of faceless benefactor. So I decided I was going to spend my first few months in a favela and, you know, it was just going to be a very temporary thing. And then once I got kind of sort of settled in, then I was going to, you know, move to something, you know, more permanent that I'm used to.
Okay, that makes sense. One thing I wanted to put out there, and I'm glad you gave that clarification. Like I said before, you've been very clear, not only within the group, with the videos you've been putting up, as well as, you know, when you call into Charles's show. And that's one thing I want a lot of people to understand. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Okay, that I want people to be aware of. This show is not, this show is to, you know, kind of complement Charles' show in the sense that it's just to provide another outlet, you know, for those there, not only in the African-American Brazil, Men versus Brazil, Would You Date, but also, you know, a lot of other groups. We're basically looking for men as well as, you know, women to pretty much call in and, you know, hear what they have to say. But one thing I want to follow up on as well is, you know, I've seen some of the criticism that you've gotten in the chat. You know, actually, I saw some of the responses that you gave. Then I dug a little deeper into, like, where that stuff was coming from as far as where it initially started. And one thing I got to say, it's really disheartening that, you know, when a, you know, upstanding African-American male such as yourself decides, you know, use their enterprise and skills to help somebody else out. You know, obviously, from my perspective, you're going in the favelas, so you can get a better understanding also amongst the people there. You know, you can only understand something from a book or just watching people from afar. So I would take heed to people that want to criticize, because too many times, you know, brothers do too much, and women do this too. They do too much reacting and not enough response. And the difference is when you respond, you take a deep breath and you ask the question, why is he doing this? And then do the research to look into it, a.k.a. look into the stuff that you've already put out there. So when I hear people criticizing in some of these comments, quite frankly, they sound stupid. I haven't seen, like, one of the comments that are really honestly understanding. It's kind of like making it look like you're just trying to get some cheap ass, for lack of a better term.
Right, completely not
what you're doing. And if anybody knew you or even followed what you put on the chat, they would know that that's not true. And that's too many of, and this is a symptom of what a lot of brothers tend to do in the United States. We have that crab barrel mentality in which when somebody's trying to do something different, we start challenging them and trying to poke holes in it. You know, Dr. Umar dealt with that with his school. And although there are legitimate questions about it, that's usually not what he's getting. He's getting a lot of stupid stuff. And it's the same thing I felt you were dealing with. And that's where I kind of felt some of the frustration that was coming from, in a sense that you were really typing a lot, putting a lot of notes in and videos and stuff like that. Also, the last thing I'm going to throw out there, too, to really kind of piss me off was when you had said that people, you know, Brazilian women and men, quite for that matter, were asking you, like, are they stupid? Which is kind of like, okay, the stuff that you all are putting in the chat is not just internet, you know, keyboard gangster stuff. It's affecting other people that really are trying to do the right thing and have the right reasons for trying to go to Brazil. And I would like, you know, you and Soul to really speak on that, because you all have a little bit more experience on stuff like that than I would.
Well, myself.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, bro.
I'll let you go out there. Because you came up here from the Mid-Atlantic area, right? So you are D.C. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Dwayne was right up here where I'm at. You got a good view of what we're dealing with over here in the Mid-Atlantic.
Oh, yeah. And I don't miss it one bit. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. I'm just really getting warmed up here in Brazil. And I got a lot of ground to cover as far as places that I'm going to go and all that. But one of my priorities right now is, you know, of course, now that I'm with my lady in El Pavo, I am in the process of looking for, you know, even as we speak, a new place. Because now, you know, my CPF is taken care of now. So that's, you know, one hurdle that I've gotten over as far as getting that accomplished. So now I can really go full force with looking for.
Can you define what that was again? Can you define that for us?
Say again?
Use the acronym. Can you define that for us again?
Bruh, repeat yourself. You sound kind of muffled. Say again?
I said you used an acronym. Can you define that for us? You know, sometimes people don't understand what the acronyms mean.
What acronym did I use? I'm sorry. What did I say?
I thought you used the acronym. Maybe I heard something while I was listening to you, because we are getting some kind of weird chatter coming through. But go ahead, then. You did. There's no problem. Don't sweat it. It's probably the sound.
Okay. Damn, now I forgot what the heck I was saying.
sorry about that.
But no, I mean, the life here is good. I know what I was saying. I'm in the process of looking for the type of home that I'm intent, you know, that I intended to have, you know, before I got here. So that's going to be, and you know, I'm going to be doing a video on that as soon as that happens. I'm going to be getting myself a vehicle because I'm tired of doing the the taxi cab and the roller coaster buses here. So I'm really starting to get settled in, you know, now that I'm, you know, kind of know the lay of Rio a little bit. And along the way, all I'm doing, just like I told the group before I left the States, you know, I'm going to be giving you guys videos and pics of what I'm doing. And, you know, people, they could just take it however they take it, but I'm just, you know, kind of keeping a promise to the group. But, and I enjoy doing it, actually, you know, because hopefully what I'm doing will motivate, you know, people to, even if they don't come to Brazil, just get your passport and get out to the United States. See another part of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I absolutely understand what you're coming. Dwayne, I know what it's like to get out of here. I mean, I'm overdue, to be honest with you. I'm really overdue. Because my brother, he was out. He left, I think, 3 years ago now, maybe four. He's gone.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Man, I'm out of here. What are you doing staying here?" And I'm like, "Well, there's other things I'm attached to and tethered to at this present moment, but I will be definitely tiptoeing out. I'm going to Brazil. I wanted to go with you guys in this November, but one thing it was is that I got school started up here now, so that's why I'm kind of tethered. But
Okay.
Other than that, though, I appreciate the video. Because I'm like, look, and I understand these guys, you know, these guys are asking questions and they're presenting things, but they're really thinking from the wrong perspective. Because we got a lot of folks, you know, folks and brothers who have not traveled, obviously, or they definitely haven't traveled to Brazil. Yeah, I mean, they haven't been to Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of, you know, assumptions that they may be making. And I'd rather than go there with an open mind as compared to one you have all these conclusions and assumptions that may not even be true or whatever. It's better to just go there with your head clear. Even though, you know, you're getting a perspective from you, which is appreciated, and all the guys who are putting in the input and the guys who are helping out with the language. That's the other thing, too. How's it been going on with that language issue? I mean, I know that.
Man.
No, that shakes it loose a little bit. It's like, what?
Dude, that Portuguese, it ain't nothing nice. Not for me. you know, and I told quite a few folks that when I was I lived in the Middle East for 10 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I learned Arabic, you know, which is the language over there. And they say Arabic is one of the hardest languages in the world to learn. I beg to differ. Portuguese was harder for me than Arabic was. Man, it is kicking my ass. I ain't going to even lie. It's slow coming, but, you know, I got time. So my lady speaks a little bit of English, and, you know, and I'm steady doing, you know, my studies online. I'm actually considering maybe even taking a formal class. maybe that's what I need.
Sometimes it helps.
It's slow going, man.
I mean, you're there, so it's probably easier to get a formal class. It'll probably help you. Yeah, you know I mean.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm probably going to have to do. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to have to do. But it's all good. I mean, I'll get there. I ain't going nowhere. I'm here for the duration. So.
Okay. So now here's the thing. Of course, hey, with your own visual perspective down on the ground, how do ladies look? Should we be surprised or? You know what I mean? You know, think that we're pretty much, you got pretty much the same thing here in America, or is it a vast difference?
Wait a minute. You just asked something about the ladies here? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I said the ladies here. I want to find out if the ladies there in Brazil, is it a vast difference from America, like visually or?
Okay, I'm going to tell you right off the top of my head. First big difference, there are no weeds or hair hats here in Brazil. That's the first thing.
None. Zero. A zero count.
No.
Wow.
See,
a zero count.
One thing a lot of people don't realize, when it comes to weaves in the United States, a lot of that hair that's provided comes from women in India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and here in Brazil. They actually sell their hair.
Yeah.
So a lot of the weaves that a lot of these women in the United States are wearing, the same ones that are bashing Brazilian women, they might be wearing Brazilian hair, talking all that mess. You know what I'm saying?
So here's a funny thing. So here's a funny thing. Let me get this straight. So the Brazilian women got it so good, they selling their own stuff, let alone growing their own, but they selling it to somebody else too. See, now, that's kind of funny because when you think about that with the women here in America, I'd be like, wait a minute, you guys be at the top bringing out your resources and selling them I'm just saying, instead of buying them to somebody else, trying to get somebody else's stuff, don't you have the same thing that they have? That's what I thought.
No, but the women here, man, they're beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Some of the most beautiful women I've seen next to some of the countries I've been in Africa. But there is something here for every choice. Please believe. Please believe.
Now, let me check with the co-host here. Let me see some co-host. I see some of these folks here. Just say this to the folks. If you want to dial in, the number is 646-716-8527. 646-716-8527. Now, I know we have some callers in. Just put your hand up. Let us know. I think my co-host can get know who's going, who's ready to rock. I just saw the callers checking in. But anyways, Dwayne, man, I guess I got so many questions. I'm like, I got 50 million questions. But it's like, all right, let's see. Traveling around. How difficult is it to travel around once you get down in there?
It's not difficult at all. You can either rent a vehicle, you can take a taxi, or you can take one of the roller coaster buses.
Okay. So, and you can get you
and
pretty
see,
much
for
get
me,
around.
It's really not an issue because, see, one thing you need to understand about me, as opposed to a lot of people that come down here, I'm living here. That's an obvious difference. But
yes,
I've been preparing for the last 2 years. I've made so many contacts before I got here that once I arrived, I had people in place waiting for me. So, I mean, it was just like, they're like, go here, go there. I didn't have to figure anything out. I mean, everything was just kind of like laid out on the platter for me. So my transition, baby smooth, man, very baby smooth, and it's still going very, very well for me. And like I said, I'm just getting started.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm just glad it's going. Just getting started, though, at least you have started. So what convinced you? What really convinced you? You said, you know what? I don't care what these people are saying. I'm ghost. I'm done. I'm out. No more. The real thing that locked it in.
You mean as far as me coming to Brazil? Okay.
Even further, you eventually moved there, but it's like, okay, what really did it for you? I'm like, the one that just kicked it out. It was like, that's it. I'm done.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've been living outside of the United States since 2003, okay?
Okay.
My first time in the United States, when I came back in 2014, that was my first time in the United States in 4 years, whatever. But about maybe 3 years ago, I decided that the United States was not going to be my permanent home. Nothing against it. I was born and raised there. But having spent so much time away from the United States made the United States boring to me. That's about the best way I can explain it. And every time I came back to the United States, within 3 days, I was ready to leave just from boredom and just not wanting to be there. So I made a list of countries as potentials, and I narrowed it down to South Africa and Brazil, and obviously Brazil won out.
Brazil said, that's it. You've been already to Africa, so I was like, wow.
Yeah, so I mean, I already know about South Africa. Been all over there. And I made some, like I said, I was making contacts right around that time here. And plus, I had some people that were working. Actually, let me tell you what kicked it off. The first time it kicked off for me about even thinking about Brazil. 2004, I was working in Iraq, and one of my coworkers, this Brazilian girl named Fernanda, she's the one that started telling me about Ipanema and, you know, just the different places. And that's what kind of started it for me. And it just kind of picked up again, like, you know, 3 years ago. And and like I said, I'm highly motivated not to be in the United States. Because like I said, unless you really can't understand where I'm coming from unless you've actually spent a significant amount of time away from the United States, you know. But yeah, that's what it came down to. It came down to South Africa and Brazil. And like I said, you know, obviously Brazil got it. So here I am.
Well, see, I know a lot of brothers. There's those brothers who are interested in going down a little bit further, I guess you say, going into Colombia. And in some say in Venezuela. It seems like the vote. I was talking to one of the brothers, and I was saying it used to be like a lot of brothers on the East Coast and the northern states would come down south or go down south, you know, to get themselves a proper girl, you know what I mean, a proper wife or whatever. But now it's like they're skipping down south and going really down south. South America all together. It's like, forget our list. We just jumping all the way over.
Yeah. And speaking of jumping, I'm going to be around the end of this month. I'm going to hit my 90-day mark. And unless I find a suitable business to invest in or purchase an income-producing property, I'm going to have to fly out. And what I'm going to do, the wife and I were talking about going to Buenos Aires for a few days over in Argentina. So I'm going to be shooting some pics and vids over there. If I'm not able to get my residency by the end of this month, my permanent residency. So I'm looking forward to that.
You're talking about permanent residency.
I'm totally chipping away at doing my thing.
Your permanent residency. Now, what did you put in to really get that done? I mean, you know, is it like really a real problem?
No. See, the thing is, for me, I mean, you do have options, and the option that I'm choosing for my permanent residency is going to be investing in an existing business, and I need to verify again that if I purchase a new real estate down here, you know, anybody that's been following me knows that, and I'm looking at stuff as we speak. But if I pick up an income-producing property like an office building, I'm looking at a five-story office building right now. I need to verify, pick up that building, which I think would be easier than me than investing in a business. If that'll work for the residency for me, then, you know, I'll go that route. If not, no big deal. I'll, you know, fly out at the end of the month and renew, you know, get another 90-day extension on my tourist visa.
Okay. So you're going down the lines that I like. Real estate, that's my thing. That's what I want to see when I get down there. The first thing on my list.
Yes, sir.
One of the first things
on
my list.
You got to be careful. Because one thing I'm learning, and I mentioned this in the group, here I am. I come down here motivated, on fire. All cash buyer, ready to do some things. And some of these businessmen that I've met are a freaking joke. I had one guy had an apartment building, a small apartment building that I was interested in. We were set to meet, and dude didn't even show up, didn't call or anything. He called my real estate agent a few days later talking about let's meet. I was like, no, bump you. You know, first impression is everything with me, especially when it comes to money. And if you can't even give so much as a courtesy call or text or something saying I can't come, I don't want to be bothered with you. You know,
Have some flakes out there in Brazil,
dude,
too. We still have some flakes out there. You're not going to escape those. I think they're still there.
If any of you guys decide you want to come down here and do business, make sure you got some people in place that know their way around. As a matter of fact, I can refer you to the people that I'm dealing with. Because
that's
you try to go butterball naked and going, you know, all hard, gung-ho, solo, there's a good chance you're going to get burnt. So, but yeah, man, you just got to, I'm learning that, I already knew that you can't do business here like you do in the United States. Every place is different. So my people are schooling me, and, you know, just telling me, you know, just kind of slow my jets down, you know, the properties are there. So I'll be just picking up something, you know, when the time is right, when the situation is right.
Okay.
Well, see, I definitely will try to get a hold of you on that, too, because I want to get some deals done for real estate. So that's definitely mine.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you all, but I just want to let you know, 501 and 954, I definitely see you all been on hold for a while. One thing I wanted to do, because Dwayne is definitely a friend of the not only a friend of the group but a friend of the show, is maybe if you wanted to stay on a little bit and hear what some of these other brothers got to say, and if it's something that you might be able to add to it, that would be great. But I definitely wanted to get them out there so their voice can be heard as well.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, bring
it
on in.
And then, yeah. So basically, the next person I want to bring up is area code 501-588. So, brother or lady, I would like for you to say your name and say where you're calling from, and then you know what your comment is. All right, you are live now.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Al Wilson.
All right, go ahead with your comment, brother.
Okay. I really appreciate what you all are doing, and I support you guys 100%. I went overseas and met a great woman. She's Ethiopian, and which motivated me to create this group, a Facebook group, and we're trying to do the same thing you guys are doing, okay, getting the word out and educating brothers about the place and all that.
Okay.
Okay, So just so you know, he's referring to the group. This is one of the groups that I joined. Actually, this is out of all the groups I joined quite a few. This is the one that spoke to me the most, and I really mean that. That's why I wanted you to call in, man. This is Black Men Bound for East Africa, and it's a very good group.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of foolishness. It's a lot of posts. It's, you know, not a lot of, you know, and the pictures are really, really good pictures. You know, traditional, not a lot of, you know, those BS, you know, Instagram-type things is not here. So I got a lot of respect for you all's group. It's a smaller group, but, you know, sometimes smaller is better because you got, you know, a small group of brothers that are serious is much better than a whole bunch of brothers where only, you know, 99% ain't really doing nothing. So trust me. So basically, what is the goal? I guess my question is, what are some of the challenges that you've seen in basically, A, building your group up, and maybe what are some questions that some of your members want answered as far as being able to go to Ethiopia or travel abroad in general? What are some of the challenges they have traveling abroad?
That's a good question.
I know, that's lovely.
Yeah, that was lovely. Well, brothers need to understand that when they go into these different countries, there's different cultures in each country. They can't just assume the same thing from one African country for all of them. They're all different. They all have their own culture, their own ways of doing things. We have come to the group assuming that all Ethiopian women were cool with polygamy, and that's far from the truth. That's far from reality. And they end up embarrassing themselves talking to the ladies in the group. One was saying that he was planning on having 7 wives total, and it was just a very negative reaction to that. I remember that when we first created the group. But when you're traveling there, respect the laws and respect the culture. There's a lot more I can say, but I'm not sure if I can say it in a short period of time. But,
no, I get it.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, the biggest question. Yeah, so let me be a little bit more specific. This is, I think, an easier question for you to ask. I know that I was kind of loaded. Just to me, I've never been to Africa, so I don't know anything about Africa. Me, myself, I've been to the Philippines, so I can describe that. So if you can describe Ethiopia for brothers that haven't been to Africa, and, you know, we talk a lot about Brazil, but describe Ethiopia. Like, is it, you know, is it a third world country? Are there, like, modern things? I mean, just for the average idiot, what was your experience in Ethiopia?
Okay, I went to the capital city, Addis Ababa, and it's not as developed as a Brazilian cities, but it's getting there. Things are improving, and it's improving very fast, very quickly. And the women, of course, are very nice and very just all around class. Period.
That's what I love about the Ethiopian women, from what I can tell. They are classy chicks. I mean, ladies. I'm sorry. But you know,
they got some classy. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. I just had to bring that in there because that's just. There's some tough ones, boy.
Okay.
Well, since you guys are talking about East Africa, let me throw out Tanzania, Kenya, Zanzibar's nice. Yeah, East Africa got it going on. I love it.
Right.
I love it. And yeah, just like you were saying, you know, some of the places in Africa, they're not as developed as what we're used to, but, you know, they're slowly but surely coming along, and the people are wonderful. People are
right.
wonderful. I love
that. Right, exactly. You're going to love the culture, especially in Ethiopia. And like you said, that things are improving. They're improving very quickly and quickly
yeah.
in East Africa as a whole. And it's a good time to be over there. Yeah. Also, I have another group that I had created this other group, a Black Men Bound for East African Cities, or I'm sorry, Black Men Traveling to East African Cities. Also created that group. Yeah, just for your information. Why?
All right, I got that too. All right, brother. Well, man, look, man, I definitely am glad you decided to call in, man. I'll definitely, you know, talk to you offline on Facebook, see what we could, you know, chop it up about. And definitely listen to the show. Tell your people about the show. And, man, we'll definitely spread the word. Definitely join the group, African-American Brazilian Men versus African-American Brazilian Women. Who would you date, man? There's some really cool people in that group. I feel like you have some stuff to add. Cause for me personally, I've never been to Brazil, but I have been to the Philippines. And me adding that experience really enhanced the group because it just gave a different perspective. So, man, it's definitely been nice talking to you. Definitely call back, okay?
Okay, sorry I was nervous, so.
Oh, no, man, trust me, man. I'll call the show. I definitely understand that.
Nervous.
And you answer the question. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right.
Yeah, don't worry about being nervous. I know some of the guys, you know, they're like nervous. Just like some of the guys are nervous about flying overseas. It's nothing to be nervous about. Something to enjoy yourself about, actually. You'll have fun. Way more fun than you think.
Yeah, and he was a little, I mean, I could, but he answered the questions. And sorry, that's one thing y'all got to understand about me. I'll load them questions up, man. I'll tee it up, man. So I got to, you know, let y'all know in advance. So that's my bad, too. So anyway, Dwayne, one question, the last thing I want you to answer, and to me, this is most important to me. You are an internet marketer. Can you please, like,
yeah.
I know you said it in your videos, but I don't think brothers really understand the power of the internet. Let me preface it with this. As black men, and I know, Saul, you may disagree with what I got to say a little bit, so if you do, you know, definitely let me know. But one thing is, as black men, you know, I feel like a lot of things that we're getting in the media is, you know, black women. Like, for instance, I hear a lot of people say that the African-American community is more of a matriarchy than a patriarchy. Me, personally, I don't subscribe to that, but that's the type of stuff you hear in a lot of black media, even people I respect, let alone overall media. You hear this stuff about women are going to college, black women are going to college more than any other, you know, gender, black men, like as if black men aren't, black men are going to jail. You hear a lot of stuff out there. So that's relevant because I think a lot of dudes that hear that and feed in it, they sometimes buy into that. And what I would like to know is I think there's a lot of brothers that are really not necessarily looking to get formally educated, but they have a lot of hustle about them. So I really would like you to speak to that type of brother as what the internet can do for them. Because most people, when they think of internet marketing, they think of network marketing, and then you get all of the negative connotations that come with that. Because quite frankly, they probably have been BS'd or lie to or told a different way of doing it. So I like that somebody that makes money doing that, that's been able to go to Brazil, to speak to that and how that has helped you be able to accomplish this goal of going to Brazil.
Okay, no problem. No problem. First of all, I've been doing internet marketing for 8 years, okay? I've had hit and misses with it. I've had some programs that were decent, some that were just garbage. So even though I had a lot of trial and error, it prepared me for the program that I'm a part of now, which I've only been a part of since April. I think that's what, 6 months? And I've done so well with it that I've been able to make this move. And let me just say this also, a lot of the members know this because I've said it. If it weren't for me and the success that I'm having with this program that I'm a part of, I would not be here. I would still be in D.C. So as far as the power of it, man, it's changing people's lives every day. And with me, I had this conversation with Charles on one of his shows. Charles and I come from the generation that we grew up, we didn't have internet, and then all of a sudden the internet popped up. So, and then once I saw how the internet worked and how it was, you know, putting money in people's pockets, it was like, you know, why couldn't I have this when I, you know, while I was growing up? But better late than never. So fast forward to this past April, the program that I got, which is called Power Lead System, by far, hands down, it is the best program that I've been ever been affiliated with. And again, like I said, I've only been in it 6 months and I'm crushing it. And again, a lot of that has to do with my experience in internet marketing, because I got to the point where I'm so adept with internet marketing that if I get with a program that works, I have no choice but to be successful. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, what I did do back in August, I set up a YouTube channel, you know, pretty much for the group. Of course, depicting my life here in Brazil, but also giving instruction on what I do. And not only what I do, but how I kind of threw a little twist in it to get people a fast start, because you can actually start a program that works and start making money or position money while you're learning, as opposed to just jumping in and learning and not making anything. So folks can go to my YouTube channel, and there's a four-part video series that I put together. And the first video is entitled Introduction to Lead Lightning and the Power Lead System. And then I have video one, video two, and video three after that. But I explain everything in depth in that. And it can be done. You don't have to come anywhere near to breaking the bank. And matter of fact, what I'm doing, and some of you know this because I've mentioned it, one of the things I did in Hocinha was I've got some of the locals in the Hocinha favela making money online, showing them, you know, what I do. And the first person that I helped, it was funny because we were sitting there talking about an upcoming event. And this guy's with the that Levin Thomas organization that does that volunteer work. We were just sitting down chopping it up. So I said, well, look, let me just go in and get you set up. So I got him set up. It took about 45 minutes, just a little under an hour. So got him set up, got it running. And we sat down and chopped it up for about another 2 hours. And just as we were about to break and go our separate ways, I told him to check his email. And he did, and he made $66. That was his first money he ever made online. And he has been rolling ever since. And now this guy, he's talking about not only quitting his job, but for the first time in his life, he can seriously consider buying a car. And a lot of people, the majority of the people in the favelas, don't have cars. So I know, and it feels good that I'm making a difference in these folks' lives. And this is one of the things that I wanted to do when I got here, show people, mainly in the favelas, how they can do the same thing I'm doing.
Okay. And you know, one thing I also want to put out there, too, is, you know, what you're doing with the favelas, obviously that's a great thing. You know, some people, I think one of the main problems we have, you know, brothers, we have is we don't think about the long game. Like, you know, people say stuff like, you know, you got to spend your money because you can't take it with you, and just stupid-ass stuff like that, you know, to not, you know, bite my tongue about it. And one thing about you helping them is pretty much is giving them the understanding, okay, once somebody gets down here, like these brothers in this chat group are saying this stuff in a group, you know, that's people they may never see. They ain't going to come down here or whatever. But who they're seeing, this is what you're doing. And as a representative of, like, an African-American male versus they're used to seeing white males all the time, you know, this is kind of representing not only what we're capable of as American citizens, but, you know, where our heart at is where our mind is. Because, you know, a lot of these Brazilians, they look at the media, you know, one thing I don't think people in the United States understand is the media is looked at very differently outside the United States. It's a, you know, being out of this country is really weird looking at the country from outside. And one thing is when you see how African Americans are portrayed outside the country, you know, it's really no wonder they don't think all of us ain't shit. You know, but because they go through certain things when it comes to colonialism and stuff like that, they tend to understand that we're going through kind of the same thing just within the United States. So they tend to not buy into a lot of the negative, like, media stuff that's put out there. And I'm not just talking about media. I'm talking about movies, TV shows, all of the, you know, BS thug tropes to get brought up when it comes to black men. And I speak to black men because it seems like black men in particular are very portrayed, like, extremely negatively. So, I appreciate you doing that. But another thing they don't understand is, too, these connections you're building, and also these are kind of like community-building things, things they're going to show you, basically some ideas that you may be able to teach some brothers, even if they choose to stay in the United States, or what they can do as you start to, you know, get the successes that I definitely know you will do. Plus, man, look, you're giving them fire, man, by teaching them that internet stuff, man, because, you know, one thing that a lot of people outside the country understand that we need to learn is they'll pull their money together if they see something can't work, and they'll make it happen.
Exactly. That's one thing. When you got down there, how do they work together? Do they work together like in a way that it's admirable or something, or is it they don't work together? Kind of like up here.
They have a sense of community here that we need to pay attention to in the United States. These people pull together like you would not believe. Of course, you know, you're going to have, you know, little scuffles and scrapes. I mean, it just happens in relationships. But overall, in comparison to, say, the African-American community, oh, man, it's I'm talking a night and day difference, man. Because one thing I like, now you're talking economically, the favelas, they are literally self-sustaining. You know, they have their own forms of government. They have, like, little city councils. They literally do things and achieve things without the help of the government. How that works, I don't know, but that's just how it is. And these people, the money pretty much stays within the favela because you have retail shops. You got restaurants. You got clubs. You got bars. I mean, they're like their own cities within Rio. Literally. And the people are together. There's not a lot of, you don't have a lot of strong arm robberies, people getting jacked. You don't hear about none of that, man. None of that. And I feel very safe. And like I said, I'm coming from the perspective of five different favelas that I've been to in the South and North zones, you know? So, and I'm not going to say they're all the same, but one principle does apply across the board, and that is, if you're going to go to a favela, go with someone who knows their way around, okay? That's what's made my favela experience, you know, pretty much smooth, except for the incident I talked about when I went to the wrong door the first time I came to Pablo. But yeah, man, I mean, it's not what a lot of people think. It really isn't. Yeah, I mean, do the Rude Boys, you know, duke it out? Of course they do. Rude Boys duke it out back home. But like I said, a couple of the biggest differences are the togetherness of the people, the fact that the money stays in the favela for the most part. That money circulates. It's not a high crime rate like you would think. It really, really isn't. I feel I have no problem walking through Pavo, Hosinia, or Vigigal in the middle of the night. No problem whatsoever. Why? Because, again, there's just not – you don't hear about – strong arm robberies and people getting taken. You don't hear about that. The only time you hear about any kind of scuffle is when the Rude Boys are duking it out with the cops or they're duking it out with the rival crew. And another thing I like about the favelas too, they have their own form of street justice. Let a pedophile mess around and do something to a child here. They're going to mess around and throw tires on him, set his ass on fire and roll him down the street. But see, you don't hear about stuff like that. He's non-existent, man.
So they really are not playing around. They're like, look, man, we ain't having it up in here in this favela. I don't care who you are. You got to go. You got to go. And then on top of that, like you said, they're circulating money with inside the – see, that right there, that's like gold that needs to be learned in this black populace here in America. That's like super gold right there for our people to actually see that in play. Okay? Because it's like, oh, we can't do it. Yes, you can. You just don't want to, or you just don't apply yourself to do it. So, but
It can be done. It's not a big deal. But we're going to have to put some things in place. Like you said, that's a dollar. There's some guidelines and stuff like that that say, look, this ain't going to happen right here. We're going to make sure everything's straight here. But at least that's one thing I wanted to make sure that from the perspective from abroad, from other black folks, we're not saying it's heaven over there per se. I mean, it's got issues. Like, everybody's got issues. But for the most part, though, the things that we really do need to learn and put and implement over here, they're actually doing it almost like second. It's like second breathing from, it seems like to me, from what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's up. I appreciate that. I like seeing that kind of thing. That's one of the things I love seeing that, so it encouraged me to easily want to invest and do things with my people because my people are trying to do things. So I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I like that. You know what I mean? That alone, I like that. I'm like, well, I can work with people. We can get some stuff done. What? Oh, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
go.
I mean, because I'm actually, I mean, just to, you know, further demonstrate that point, I'm actually with 11 Timeless People. We're looking to purchase a building. It's a 3-story building in the favela. To use as like a multi-purpose center, a activity center, something for, you know, the children to come to after school. And
okay.
I want to use one of those rooms as like a classroom, a computer lab, because I literally want to sit down with people. And like I said, I'm already doing it, but I want to get it a little bit more formalized and organized to where, I mean, I could just teach groups of people like 30 or more or whatever at one time and just show them exactly, you know, how I'm making that money and how they can do the same thing. And it's funny because so far I've got about 11 people up and running between Hosinia and Vigigal that are up mm-hmm. and running and, you know, doing hella well with the program, and they're spreading it out amongst the people. So the seed has been planted. It's just for a matter of me now, just like I said, getting that program a little bit more organized, and it's happening as we speak, and I will definitely keep the group updated on it. But so far, we're having hell of a good success.
Okay. So let me ask you this question now. What I'm gathering then, the opportunity to do business there is also beneficial, right? Because you, in a sense, you're kind of doing that. And on top of that, let me ask one other question. When it comes to, like, internet access, like, you know, we talk about here, we got Wi-Fi and broadband and stuff like that. Is there anything that we need to be concerned about with that down there? Is there some differences that we need to be concerned about to be aware of?
No. As far as the internet, I was told that, you know, the internet service was, you know, kind of piss poor, and that I would need to bring an internet booster. I haven't even needed to use it. So to answer your question, I mean, I always have 5 bars. My streaming is good. You know, it's no problem.
All right. So I know when I go down there, I shouldn't have any problems with my trade, because I like to do online trading. So, you know, I like to trade
straight
currency. Stuff
I mean,
like that.
I make my living online, you know?
Yeah.
And I have no problem when I'm trying to do some work.
That's why I wanted to bring that question up, because that's what you do. So it's kind of like I would know that, Jimmy. I would figure you would easily be able to say, hey, there are some issues here. Or no, there are no issues there. We're going to have some problems. So I would like to definitely talk to somebody who actually is going through
no
and using it.
No issue.
All right.
No issue.
So there you guys heard. You heard it. You heard it from that Dwayne. Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
So when you come back to the U.S., what do you expect that you're going to do when you just when you sit down at the mall or something? You just think you sit down
honestly,
looking around.
Bruh, really, I don't see me coming back to the United States anytime soon, because when I came back in 2014, I planned on being here in Brazil last August, but I had all kinds of consulting work fall into my lap, and it was hard for me to walk away $65 an hour a pop. So I ended up staying 14 months doing that consulting. I mean, it worked out because, I mean, even though it threw my plans off, you know, I was able to stack even more money to bring with me. And but yeah, it's
now. Let me ask you something. You said you've been looking at property.
Yep.
Are we talking about the kind of stuff that's affordable? Like, say, for instance, an average guy here in America, what do you think he could probably get his hands on if he was coming down there?
Okay, see, I got to stop you right there. Not to sound funny or anything, but I'm not the average guy when it comes to money because let's just say financially I am – I'm so blessed I can't even count that high. Not quite that extreme, but, you know, you get the point. And, I'm actually, you know, I mean, I'm literally in a position where I can pay all cash for a five-unit office building or a small apartment building. I mean, I've been good with my money. I've been making money. And, see, like I said, I've been living and working overseas for 11 years. And I don't know if you guys know what kind of money is made overseas. But it's good. And if you're good with your money, you know, you can make things happen. I mean, it was just so good for me, not to brag or anything, but just give some actual factuals. When I started contracting, I had my first house that I bought back in 1998. I was able to pay that house off and buy another one, which I'm renting out, which is down near Howard University. And, you know, and still have, you know, sitting on, you know, good money. Now, I think I mentioned this in the group. I also own property in the Middle East. I have a partner in Qatar, and I have another one in Kuwait. We have a residential property there. And speaking on the investment thing, my friends in the Middle East, the Arabs, the guys that got the real, real money, they want to do some
Arab
money in Brazil as well. Huh?
You said that A-Rab money. You said, okay.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, you didn't mess with the A-Rab money overseas, man. That's why you rich, man.
Yeah, man. I made some good connections because the two guys that I deal with, the one in Qatar and the one in Kuwait, both of them are members of the royal families of both of those countries. So, you know, money ain't nothing but a thing. And, you know, once I kind of get my feet wet a little bit more here in the real estate game of Brazil, I'm going to bring them in because they're dying. You know, to come down here and do some stuff. So, there's so much stuff I haven't even shared with the group that I just have no idea the stuff that I got planned. I mean, they have an idea, but they damn sure don't have the full picture because I haven't given it. And when I say I'm just getting started, that's exactly what I mean. I'm just getting started. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet.
Let me do this then. Okay. You said you can pay this money out for this particular property in cash. What's that kind of look like to us in America? I mean, if you don't mind, you keep it in like a zone that's not giving too much detail, but enough to know that this is what we're talking about. Ain't no big deal.
It's as far as the price of the one building I was looking at.
Yeah, in
that's ballpark.
We're talking a few million, a couple of million, guy.
A couple of million.
Look, Look, I just put it out there straight. I'm a millionaire, okay?
There you go.
That's not something I like.
I didn't know that.
Okay?
Big pockets on the mic.
You know, I mean, I'm like I said, I don't like saying that, but just to give you an idea, that's why I say financially I'm not like the average guy. Because
right.
I tell you something, when I started messing with my Arab cats, man, they started showing me some game on some things, and like I said, I ended up, you know, going in on some property with two of my good friends over there. So, and those guys, like I said, Arab money, I don't know if y'all know, that real money. And those guys know how to make it. And, you know, they've been bringing me up on game on all kinds of stuff. And just like, you know, they shared information with me, I'm doing the same thing in the favelas, you know, trying to get people on. Hand washing.
That's the stuff. So here's the thing, Dwayne. This is the funny part about this, right? So you're able to work. There seems to be no problem with other people of other ethnicities or cultures overseas. No problem.
No problem at all. No problem at all. And I'll tell you something else. As a black man, I've gotten more love in the countries that I've been to than I have in the United States. And another thing that I've noticed, too, I'm noticing, like, the prejudice that we experience as black men in the United States, or just black people, period.
Okay.
I'm noticing a lot of whites kind of sort of go through the same thing overseas, because I don't know how many countries I've been to where people say, Black Americans, you know, soul brother and, you know, all this other stuff that they call us. We love you, but the white nuns, they can't stand them. Funny thing, man.
They don't trust them. Did they know the history?
So you got, they got reverse racism on white folks overseas. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's a trip, man.
Look, they see them as, look, I don't mean to interrupt y'all, but they see them as like, look, they got the money. So, you know, so a lot of times, a lot of these Caucasian men go over there. They already know what the game is. They're like, look, man, they got the money. I'm going for the money. But they not really falling deep in love with them like that. You know, they call it like the Negro Bedwitch mentality. But overall, man, the males are very, like, they're very, like, distrustful of them because they know their game. Like, even like, a lot of liberals that come at it, like, really nice and have good intentions, they know they always come with good intentions first. And then that conquering bullcrap goes. That's one thing we forget in the United States. Like, I don't mean to throw this off to another topic, but I just heard that they're going to create a book. They're actually creating books talking about black people were like immigrant, like we were immigrant workers over here. There's a couple books in Texas that they're trying to put out there in the education system that we were immigrant workers and they don't mention slavery as a term at all, which that's just the mentality they have over here. See, they can't do that like that overseas because they know what they did, you know, in Africa or Asia. They know. They may not put it in their face all the time, but they know. I just wouldn't put that out there.
Well, I know one thing. I mean, if you receive abroad, which I keep trying to say, because I know traveling abroad, we get received way better overseas. Is what, not to mention just with the women. Jeez, man, we just get a good reception from people. They don't really give us the major league grief, okay? Even the annoying type of grief you may get, you know, because you know you get some annoying stuff. It's not really heavy on you, but you still get those little pricks here and there. It's like, oh, man, here we go with that dumb stuff. You know what I mean? But you know, there's a lot of hope seems to be abroad for brothers, and I really think brothers need to grasp that. I think they need to realize if you think you're banking, you're doing well here, you can do that elsewhere and do it probably much quicker, and much faster, and much better. Okay, with people who are working with you. So I definitely want to encourage it. I think through breaking it down, many of these things, Dwayne, because it's important that people hear from a person. And also, you know, I know you don't like to say it, but you letting them know I got a little money in my pocket, that kind of backs a few people down. You know, because, you know, some of those people have something to say, and they ain't got nothing in their pockets, man. Ain't nothing in their pocket. But hey. They got criticism that goes long term. Like, they're super wealthy, but they got nothing. Real talk. And it's good to hear from a person who actually has a little something in his pocket, been doing this thing. And, you know, you're showing yourself as a black man, as one of those black men that is not one of those low-grade brothers that sisters can't seem to find. And, you know what I mean? You one of those brothers who's putting in the dollars. So that's what I love. Yeah. Because I love that one. It's like, oh, you missed this one.
Uh-huh.
You missed this one. I'm like, what? We can't find you, brother. You don't exist. I'm like, there's one right there. There's a whole bunch of them.
Like,
but you just playing.
You know, I've said it once, and I'll say it again, and I'm sure I won't be saying it some more. I am nobody special. So if I can do it, so can you. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm not trying. I'm showing people, you know, one thing that I do, you know, my mainstay. And it's just really taking off. It's really, really taking off. And, I, you know, I'll be straight with you. I'm going to try to be, not try to be, I'm going to be like some of these guys you hear about that's making six figures a month. And it's doable. It is so doable. And,
we need to do a separate show, real talk, about go ahead and making this bread. Okay, because.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
If you don't mind bringing that in, because I would love to have some brothers, get a panel of some brothers who are getting some stuff done. You know what I mean? So we just sitting here and we just nailing them, hitting them all upside the forehead. Hit. They getting one to the gut, one to the jaw. They're just getting hit. It's like, look, you guys can really do this. Let's go. Let's rock. Come on.
Yeah.
Stop believing all that stuff.
This is the easiest way that I can think of to do it. And that's why I'm telling you guys, go to my YouTube channel, and it's not difficult. It's not difficult. And just to show you how difficult It's one of the people in the favela that I got on. She told, I think she said it was either her girlfriend or a cousin, I can't remember, but her, the person's daughter, a 15-year-old girl, she's making money doing this. So, yes, a child can do it, and it's easy. And the way I lay it out and explain how to get started, it's real, real easy.
Can you hear me?
You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, it was a technical issue. Sorry about that, Dwayne.
Okay. Did you not hear me? Do I need to repeat?
No, you said something like 15-year-old girl or something, and then it caught out for a hot second.
Yeah, the a 15-year-old girl is doing, even though I didn't show her personally, but her friend or relative or whatever that I did show the program showed her, and this teenager, she's making money now, you know? And like I said, that's my biggest thing. I want this, what I'm doing in Hosinia, to spread like a disease, Hosinia and Abidjigal, because I want to see if I can do something to get somebody where I am as far as internet marketing. It's going to change their lives. And like I said, it felt so good when my guy was telling me for the first time he can actually consider buying a car. And a lot of you guys may not realize, to us, it's
not
like, you know, having a car. But here in Brazil, having a car is a huge luxury, especially for somebody in a favela, because most of them don't. If they have anything, they have one of those little, you know, moped
scooters.
Yeah, right.
Don't be hating on them scooters. I love my scooter. I still use that thing. I love that thing. Man, I do, man. $2.50 is still looks like a ride. Man, here, take that $2.50. I'm good. Let's rock. It's actually
no,
good for the
Yeah, I'm just putting that out there because, you know, we got – look, and here's the thing. I'm not trying to I want people to understand when I speak, I'm speaking from – like, I'm from Chicago, right? And I'm a Chicago Bears fan. Now, right now, we suck. But part of being a fan of a team is it's kind of like fine wine. You support them, you know, when they're doing well, and you got to go through the hard years too. I don't like dudes that they bounce around, you know, say I'm a LeBron fan, and they bounce around depending on what team LeBron is playing, but they ain't really got their own team. So when I say stuff, I'm not trying to criticize, but I'm trying to help open people up to really understand,
right.
You know, because people will say, look, Dwayne's a millionaire, so of course he can go to Brazil. After they would just criticize you, talk about what are you doing, like thought you was trying to get, you know, cheap ass. You know, but my thing is, you can do it too because you're getting rims and you're getting cars. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Dwayne, you could get, with your bread, you can get booty up here, no problem. You don't even have to leave the U.S. to do that. Okay, because you know they're going to change it. If they know you got some cheese, oh, they're going to be changing it for real. You ain't got to worry about nothing. These just be trying to take the fuck out of them. I know the deal.
I'm going to do no kind of high signing. You would just talk to me and you wouldn't even know. I stay low profile. The money don't change me. And,
the money
you know,
don't
I
change
just,
you.
Like they say, how? Real bad boys
move silent.
That's a whole
nother show. That's a whole nother show. You talk about a whole other show. The money don't change you. Oh my God, that's a whole other show. How's that possible?
Yes, sir.
How's
yes,
that
sir.
Possible? Because
it's all good.
You know what I mean? I got, but that's real talk. Because it's like, as soon as these people get that bread, man, woo, they can't slow down. They can't slow down. I try to tell my people, man, look, man, slow down. I just got this money. Yeah, that doesn't mean you got to spend it all. Not now. I mean, it's almost like as soon as the money is in their pocket, they got to spend it that day.
It's like a race.
Like, shoot. I'm like, boy, you better slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want this new car. I want this new house. I want these new clothes. They just go, man. I'm like, dang, you broke up. I love watching them after tax. I love watching that. I mean, it's sad, but I love watching it because you want to get some good laughter, man. That's crazy. It's like, man, they running over people. They doing so many crazy things to get rid of that money. And I'm just wondering what's wrong with my people, man. It's like you're already barking about how hard it is to get money, but you can't wait to blow that sucker as soon as you get it. You can't
yeah.
wait.
Yeah. You got money, man.
Can't wait, man. I'm like, wow, you know, you know, you know.
You just got the check. Yeah, I got the check. It's like, and I love the one ticket item going. It's like, oh, how much is the check? I got $4,500. How much is the car? $4,500.
Right.
Oh, my God, stop it. $4,500? You spent $4,500? God, God. I know I had this, one of the mentees that I had, I was telling a story to the guys. Excuse me. I was telling them, I said, you know, I had one of these mentees, man, and I helped him convert from, you know, being underwater. He was like 50,000 underwater, plus whatever his other credit lines were extended to. He had to pay all that stuff out. So I flipped him over to $140,000 cash in a bank. It took about maybe 3 months, okay, because I was doing real estate deals and stuff, trying to get him started and built up. Got him up there. Man, I kid you not, 3 months later, all that money was gone. All that money was gone. This is nice to get.
I believe it.
She spent at least, golly, she spent everything, really. She spent everything. He called me up. He's like, I got some news. You got, please don't tell me it's bad. He's like, man, all that money that I had, I really don't have it. I'm like, how you don't have any money? How do you blow $140,000 in 3 months? How do you do that? I'm like, what? And it's funny because he came to me struggling. He came to me so struggling. You could see the stress on his body, on his face. It just, you just see it, man. It was like life was really hard on him at that moment. So once we got him on, upside right, you know, right side up, I should say. We got right side up. You know, he was all happy and everything was all lifted. He felt really good. And I'm like, next thing you know, I'm looking at him back in the bottom again. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm wondering sometimes if these people are addicted to the feeling of being down at the bottom. Sometimes I wonder. And I'm like, hey, it's like an addiction. They go right back to it.
Huh.
I'm not trying to hang out there. Visit is one thing, but not stay around. That's not how we do it. So
well,
we definitely have to have a discussion, Dwayne, about some of that, some more about some of the, maybe the mentality of success and doing well and stuff like that.
All right, Dwayne. So, you know, if there's anybody else who wants to call in, definitely call in at 646-716-8527 so you can give your comments. Also, leave a tweet at hashtag SNBShow. That way, you know, because the chat can be kind of difficult to get into. Twitter is obviously easy. And, Dwayne, is there anything else? Look, the chat really likes what you have to say. They like how you're coming about stuff. You know, one of the comments I'm getting a lot is you're not talking down to brothers, which, you know, some people of the means that you have or, you know, can tend to have a tendency to do. I've seen that a couple times in the chat, actually, by a couple different people, so that's much appreciated. And they're really interested in what you have to say, man. So that's why we wanted to give you the floor, because we knew when people, you know, you can only say so much in these, you know, these chat groups, you know, before your fingers are tired and you're like, screw it. So I wanted to really give you the floor. That's why I really haven't thrown anybody out there as far as calling. So is there anything else you'd like to say before, you know, we let you go for the day or, you know?
Yeah, I will say this. And I've said it before in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Americans, when you leave the United States and go to another country, do not, I repeat, do not act like you are in the United States. Too many Americans make that mistake of going to another country and acting like they're at home. And a lot of times it comes back to kick people in the ass, but mainly when Americans do disrespectful things in other countries, it further feeds into the global mentality that Americans, along with Brits and some Canadians, are just really, you know, assholes. You know, have no consideration for the people of the country that they're visiting. And for some reason, a lot of Americans feel that Americans, that everybody else in the world should do things the way Americans do. I mean, it's just really, that's probably my biggest piece of advice. Be humble wherever you go. You know, learn about the customs and traditions of the country that you're going to do. You know, do some research. But most of all, when you get on that plane to leave the continental United States, leave the matrix mentality at home. Just kind of like go wherever you're going, like your mind has been wiped clean. You know what I'm saying? and so you have no preconceived notions about where you're going. But that'll probably be my biggest piece of advice, and that would apply not only here in Brazil, but you know, anywhere in the world.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, for those that people that still didn't get that, you know, I'm not a fan of always being politically correct, but when you leave the country, you might want to, you know, be politically correct because you get snatched up somewhere, you know. You know, and also I would say, too, a lot of brothers don't really understand the goodwill that they automatically have by just for the sake of being brothers. And then they completely piss that away once they start acting like any typical American assholes, you say.
Yes, you ain't qualified.
Well,
all right, well, Dwayne, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, you can go ahead, Alan. I'm going
to
No, gonna
I mean, if you
that.
Got something else to say, then definitely. Because I know we got about 15 minutes left.
Right, that's the only thing. It was like we got 15 minutes left. So the call is going to call in. I just wanted to just go over some of the things that were kind of summarized. Some of the things that were presented by, you know, I love the whole thing about the internet marketing, the online marketing, basically, doing that because and how it's expandable and it has like somewhat immediate return. I mean, you can kind of see the incentives quickly to, you know, move you forward. That's a beautiful thing to see. So that's definitely something I like and appreciate about what was discussed tonight, something about the businesses. And, of course, getting rid of some of the taboos or the misconceptions that are happening in the favelas. The favelas, I mean.
Right.
It's like kind of like, he's living in a favela. Are you crazy? It's like, yeah, because the favela obviously is not as bad as what you thought it was. We're not talking like the ghetto like that or anything like that. I don't see that happening like that. Especially if they have such a desire to take care of the people and look after their people. So there's a community there. When you have a community there, it's a little different.
Right. And see, again, you know, that sense of community is the biggest thing that stands out to me in the favelas. And like I've, you know, also mentioned before, the gentleman in Hosseinia Favela named Zetinho that really opened my eyes to the favelas. It was just like, you know, after dealing with him and reading his blogs and talking to other people in the favelas that I met through him and just on my own, I found out that the preconceived notion that the media set in my mind, along with some of the people in the Facebook group that I had about the favelas, was totally wrong. You know, yes, the favelas is a hood. Yes, it is a hood, no doubt. But it's not all garbage. You know what I'm saying? There are businessmen that live in the favelas. There are people in the favela that have homes that probably look better than half of the homes of the people in our group, you know? So it's not all out in the favelas. There are people that are making money in the favelas. There are people that purposely stay in the favelas that make money because their living expenses, mainly their rent, is cheaper. And again, you can find beautiful, beautiful places in the favelas. You'd be so surprised. But, you know, again, like I mentioned, you know, the favelas, I like doing what I'm doing here, but it's not a permanent move for me as far as living. Nothing against it, but it's just not something that I would want to live. I have a vision for myself. And, you know, once I do, you know, grab this first property, you guys will see exactly what I'm talking about because, you know, I'm going to share a video with it, you know, about it. So
that's
just like I do everything else. Yeah.
Well, see, I'm going to be interested in
the whole time I'm here. I'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah, I want to see that. The real estate, you know, that's my thing. I have a nose for that. That's what my nose is all about. Like, let me get that real estate. Let me get that. So, anyways, Alan, what do you have to drop in? I see a caller dropping in. I don't know what's going on because cash from it. But,
we just got a caller that just dropped in, so I definitely would like to, you know, hear what they got to say. So, 443, you are on the air. So, speak on it. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Just dropped in on a call. Calling from Baltimore.
B-more.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up.
That's where I'm at. Go ahead, speak on it. What's going on?
My Ravens ain't doing too well. That's about it. But I just dropped in to listen to the conversation. So I don't really have too much to say right now.
Oh, no doubt. Okay.
All right, man. Well, man, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the show, man. And let the other brothers know about it, too, man. We need to build up the viewership on this quick. All right, man?
Listen.
Most definitely.
All right.
So, anyways, a Baltimorean. Uh-oh. How did that happen? Somebody calling us a Baltimore. I was like, oh, that's crazy. Here we go.
Your local celebrity.
Yeah, okay. I like to be like, I'm like Dwayne. I like the low-key stuff. Trust me on that. I get them on that. I know how that works. I'm telling you.
Uh-huh.
So I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I know about that. You start flashing that cash and stuff, man, it ain't worth it. Trust me on that. Because, man, up here in the U.S., nah, I'm good. I'm definitely good. But I don't need to be flashing anyway. I ain't even like that, really. But it's just like I do understand, though. You know how it is.
Yep. All good,
well,
man.
Speaking of Baltimore, man, what about that mayor resigning, man?
Well, resigning? That's something
I heard the mayor was going to resign in Baltimore.
Well, no. Well, it's possible, but I know she's not been. She's not been comfortable lately because Sheila Dixon's running for mayor. She's trying to get her seat back. And then, of course, some other people are trying to get it done. And then, of course, the current existing mayor, she was running, and then she changed her mind about running. So she maybe just want to, I think she just wants to go home, man. Real thought. I think she wants to go home. She may do some work, but I think she wants to go home because she's very, very low key in certain regards. You know what I mean? She does her Maryland duties, but she's not I think she's had enough.
Meanwhile, in the matrix.
Because the stuff that we had pop off of Baltimore has been kind of interesting. You know, it's been like, okay, surprise, surprise. I mean, the Freddie Gray thing, the riots, the burnouts. What's cool, though, I know I love about this right now, they're working on the CBS that was on national television everywhere. The people running into all kinds of stuff, too. They're hooking it up, man. They're getting ready to bring it back. So, you know, some of that damage is being resolved. So that's the good thing I love about this. So, but we really did tear some stuff up, though. We did cause some problems. But we had curfews, and I'm like a grown man walking around under curfews. What are you talking about? I have a curfew.
Come on, Baltimore, you.
Well, I was in over there by Druid Lake.
Okay.
My darling, I was over there. Let me see, Ark and Trolley. That's an area over there. What else we got? Reservoir Hills, the other spot I have too. Reservoir Hills kind of a little different thing. It's moved up because they're killing some taxes over there. Yeah, that's right. Reservoir Hill, Bolton Hill, and pretty much they're right next to each other. So it's like that's where they're transitioning, changing things over there. But we still got some things that have to be addressed, but. It's nice over there. Now I'm out in the county.
Okay.
I didn't move down to the county right now because I'm getting ready to go to school. So I wanted to pretty much be closer to school so I don't have to really commute much. It's not too big of a deal.
That's what's up.
West side.
So you guys making plans to come down here or what?
What's that?
Are you guys making plans to come down here to Brazil?
I am. I'm certainly making plans to come down to Brazil. That is definitely on my schedule. That's why I said I want to talk to you about the real estate part about it and stuff like that because I want to talk to people about those type of things because I'm coming down to try to invest. And I also want to I want a nice little home if I can get one near the water. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying. I want something. It don't have to be too much, but it definitely got to be cool where I can just chill out and be okay by the water. Go right on out to the beach and do my little thing. I mean, have a little fun.
That's it.
Yeah, I am as well, but I'm not going to be going down to the beach thing. But although I did support other people going, I invested in the raffle that Charles was doing over in the Afro Brazil Would You Date group. And that's another thing I want to throw out there to everybody listening and people that may listen. You know, if it's still October, it's still time to basically get that done. You all need to get in the group and basically invest $5. Me and Saul was talking offline and we were like, no reason why nobody doesn't have $5, you know, on payday that you can put into this thing. It's ridiculous that it's like less than $200 in that thing, and it's been 25 days with 10,000 people in the chat. Not trying to criticize, I'm just saying. So,
well, let me get on that right there, Alan. I gotta
talk.
I can't let this go, Alan. Listen, guys, if you got 10,000 members in the group, if everybody gave a dollar, just $1, just one, what is a dollar gonna do to you? Nothing. Okay, it can't be that bad. If it's not bad, you can't afford a dollar. Don't worry about it. Okay, really, don't worry about it. But I mean, seriously, if you can afford a dollar, it should be that should be something. We should be able to pull up with everybody kind of participating. Now, you're probably not going to get everybody, but most of the people who are sincere about this, a buck, you probably have $8,000 like that overnight, just like that. That's how quick you get there. You know what I mean? Before the week is out, you got 8,000 in there, and we can get some of these people in that raffle and get them overseas, you know, heading down to Brazil. Of course, Dwayne probably can help them out, Charles can help them out, and everybody else can help them out who's down there. Okay? But I just don't understand why we can't seem to get a dollar. You know what I mean? How hard is that? $1 don't hurt. I want to do a dollar campaign. Golly, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know the minimum he had, I think, is $3. But, man, it's kind of like even still, like $3, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, we put it out there. Yep. You know, everybody believed in it. That's actually why on the low I was kind of interested to see, because here's the thing a lot of people are not understanding, and this is what I want to talk about the long game really quick. We want to get some
–
obviously, Dwayne, you've been a great guest, but Charles, if you want to get like the Tariq Nasheed and stuff like that, then sometimes you need that brown paper money. And pretty much what a better way to get it is as a group we, you know, donate 50 cents or a dollar so you can get – those bigger names and help, you know, expand what we're trying to do. So, see, there's a lot of things that dudes don't take into account. That's all.
Hey, I enjoy being here, man. Anytime you want me on the show, just give me a heads up. And, you know, I'll make the time. Ain't no thing.
That's what's up, Dwayne. That's a good thing to hear, because I want the brothers who got some business savvy, some of that stuff up here, too, so we can get this shared out to the brothers so they can get a little taste of that, too. They need to get some of this. Real talk.
Yeah. I mean, because with or without you guys, I'm going to get some. I am going to get some and help some people along the way.
Real talk. It's like if you ain't trying to get paid, that's your business. But I'm getting mine. I ain't mad at you. But I ain't crying either. I'm not crying. So how about that? You know, sympathy is, that's a necessary thing. I mean, when I was a kid, we got a lot of sympathy, but I know I'm a grown man now, so I'm not expecting to see a lot of that coming back. So, sometimes you got to make those applications and step forward and then get this going, because I'm getting too short. If everybody's going to get it, you're going to be mad because you didn't have yours. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
And don't be waiting on somebody to help. I mean, don't wait on people. That's what I'm saying. Y'all better stop waiting on people.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen like that. Nothing going to happen. So you guys going to be doing this show same time next week, right?
Yes, sir. We're going to be doing it same time next week. I want to jump into some other things, I think I'll announce that, and we'll talk about it, and Alan will get over it. But we're coming around a minute and 22, you guys, a minute, about to shut it down. I appreciate the people who are calling and the people who are listening. And I definitely appreciate you, Dwayne, and my co-host, Mr. Alan. What do y'all think? I think Alan did a great job. I think he did a good job. You know what I mean? We're trying to get it together here, but it's the first time, so it's crazy a little bit. But it's all right.
So good, man. All
right, man. Nice to hear from you, man. Look forward to hearing from you again, okay? I'll definitely let you know. Also, thanks for – I know I gave you a short notice, too, so we appreciate that.
Just hit me up next time, man. Hit me up.
You got it.
Oh, I definitely will.
All right, guys. Take it easy now.
All right, now.
No, you think.
All right. Thank you, folks, for listening to the first show, Soul and Back Reboot. it went where it went, and it did as it did. As it did. Like I said, I kind of just wanted to let it flow, and it flowed. And now we're going to go ahead and set this thing loose, close it down. Hopefully people enjoy this also the weekend. And the brother from Baltimore, please check in, bro. Come back in. You know what I mean? And if you want, send us a little text information. You got a contact information at the page, Solo Black. And we'll try to bring up some of the, those topics and issues on various different shows and make it cool.
Yeah, it kind of went, okay, it went off air, man. We're good.